Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Thank you so much for all of your Twitter Tuesday responses. I'm going to get to some of those this hour, plus the great reveal, the grand reveal of your choice for hashtag MCM, Man Crush Monday. I have to write a CBS Sports Minute, so if anybody has an idea of an opinion that I should share, please pass it on. Facebook page two, you're all excited about our Twitter Tuesday question, which is, what's your favorite sport to attend in person? I mention this because I was so excited to be at the U.S. Open and be able to walk around. And I realized every time I go to a golf tournament, it's my absolute favorite sport to attend in person. Number one, I get to be outside, and I'm always happy when I'm outdoors. If I can be outside, if I can walk, 22,000 steps I walked on Saturday. But the weather was great. I met a lot of people. I got to see a lot of different things. I took a ton of pictures. I even managed a couple of selfies, even though I suck at selfies. And so I just was in my element for 12 hours outside at a golf tournament. The only thing that would have been better was being able to play myself, though that course would have kicked my rear end and then thrown me in jail somewhere. So that actually probably would have been curled up in a ball crying. Or I would have thrown my clubs into one of the little lakes there or something. So, yeah, probably better not. But I had so much fun being at Shinnecock Hills out on Long Island. That is definitely my favorite sport to watch in person. I really love going to baseball games, too, though, because I enjoy just hanging out, again, being outside, preferably in nice weather. But I did once take my nieces to a game at Nationals Park where it was 99 degrees at first pitch. Holy cannoli. It was hot. We're talking about an evening game, 99 degrees at first pitch. We ate ice cream for dinner because that was the only thing that you could comfortably eat. And my niece, my younger niece at the time, this is probably 4 years ago, so she would have been 12, 13. She's a leaner. And I love her to death because she's very affectionate and she loves to hang all over her auntie. But in that particular instance, she was laying across me at some point during the game and she was sticking to me. And I was thinking, oh no, Lauren, any other time. But, you know, she's my niece, so whatever.
Hit the crap.
If she, no, I didn't say that. I tried not to stick to her as much as possible. But yeah, I love being outdoors at baseball games, even if it is 99 degrees, whatever, just suck it up and take a shower later, right? So baseball, golf, outdoors. I've never been to one of the stadium series in hockey, but I would love to do that as well. I do enjoy college football in the right place. I love basketball, of course, if you can be baseline or close enough to hear the players talk to one another. That's always a lot of fun to hear the communication. Believe it or not, NFL is my least favorite to attend in person. And part of that has to do with the job. It's more difficult to follow everything if you're at one particular game. But also it's harder to see everything when you're at a particular game. You don't necessarily get replays. It kind of depends on the policy at that particular home stadium, if they want to play all of the replays or not. But even being at the Super Bowl in Houston a couple of years ago, as much fun as that was, and I wouldn't have traded it for the world to be there for overtime and the Patriots comeback, I know that when I watched it later, there were things that I had missed, right? Things that I didn't get to see because I was in the stadium as opposed to watching on TV. NASCAR is another sport that I love to attend in person as well. So, yeah, those are some of my favorites. But golf is definitely unique because you get to move around. You get to go anywhere that you want on the course, and you can see a variety of different things. And so, yeah, I'd love to hear from you, though. What's your favorite? And if you want to throw in your favorite stadium as well, you can do that. ALOL Radio with the hashtag Twitter Tuesday, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I have in my hands the menu from the Thai food restaurant where Chris will be bringing dinner from tomorrow night. So tomorrow is our first full show meeting as a unit. Our big brainstorming session, and I do not brainstorm well if my brain does not have a full stomach upon which to draw. That makes perfect and total sense. And Thai food, complete with the gong, is Chris's initiation into the After Hours inner sanctum. Oh, that sounds like a cult. Into the After Hours inner circle. And so, Isaac, I need to know, did you pick your Thai food dish yet?
Yes, I'm going to pick something from the Golden Breast menu. Orange chicken.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. I did see there was duck on the menu, but I'm going curry. This is a really extensive menu, so I actually haven't found the curry yet, but I'm going with curry.
Don't pick the lobster. Or pick the lobster.
Why? Because it's the most expensive thing on the menu?
Yeah.
How much is it?
I think 28, 29.
That's his entire weekly paycheck.
And maybe week and a half.
Wait a minute. We actually pay him? That's a new change in policy. Not yet. So I have the authentic Thai curries. Boom! Where's my gong? Authentic Thai curries. That's right. Thai red curry, green curry, jungle curry? Do you dare me? Please dare me to try jungle curry. Hot, spicy, fresh chili paste curry with green beans and bamboo shoots.
That sounds really good.
I do like the bamboo shoots. Gang curry, which is cooked in coconut milk with yellow curry, onion, bell pepper, and sweet potatoes. And then Penang curry. Also, Massaman curry, which I've had before, is really good. It does have peanut in it, though, so you have to be careful. Do you have peanut allergy?
I have no food allergies.
Okay, good, because that would be a problem. That might be the reason why you don't last very long here on the show. And scallops or shrimp and calamari. Oh, my gosh. I know you don't like fish, but there will be seafood in my curry. Oh, this is very exciting. So we were just trying to figure out exactly when we should get together and how Chris is going to bring fresh Thai food. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it since we don't get together till a little bit later hour, but this better be warm. It better be fresh and warm.
I'll find a way.
Okay. Let's see how ingenious producer Chris is. All right. So we're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I'm going to get to your tweets here coming up. Also, your great reveal for hashtag MCM. We had two guys back and forth. And some of you are responding still to my conversation with Nick Boynton, the former NHL player who just lays it out on the line, really takes the NHL to task for not educating players, for not taking concussions seriously, for essentially denying that there is any relationship between hits to the head repeatedly in hockey and long-term health challenges, long-term brain trauma. We know that those two are very much related. It's not anyone's fault. I mean, that these guys choose to play hockey. They choose to play hockey, but shouldn't they be educated about the risks? I think that's what I hear from players and former players more than anything. They're not saying NFL, you're to blame. NHL, you're to blame. Nick is not saying this is the NHL's fault. Woe is me. I need to be compensated, or I need this, or I need that. What he's saying is, I want to know. I just wish I knew. Because if I had known then what I know now, I might have made different decisions. At the very least, the leagues have a responsibility to give the players access to the technology, to the science, to the education, to the information. At the very least, that way you actually avoid being culpable and liable because you give them everything they need to decide if they want to keep playing the sport, how long they want to keep playing the sport, and what to do if they themselves end up in a situation where they have multiple head injuries. And I can only speak for me. but it's not going to cause me to stop watching the sport if a few guys retire early because they prefer not to take the risk. I'm not going to stop watching the sport because it's a violent game. We know that when we watch it. They know that when they play it. It's still not fair that these guys aren't given every ounce of information so they can make informed decisions. It's their own lives, right? The NHL front office, the commissioner, he's not the one who's suffering from depression and anxiety, who has days where he'd prefer to die, where he can't get out of bed, because he's not the one absorbing the hits to the head. The players are taking the risk, so the players should be informed about the risk. 855-212-4227. Let's talk to Rashad, who's in Atlanta. Welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing this morning, Amy?
Good, thank you.
All right, I have a couple of questions for you about it. My first question to you is, it's just like me getting on a roller coaster, and in that fine print it says, if you get on this ride, you can hurt your neck, your back, or whatever. Keep your neck straight. Lean back. Hold on. If I don't read that fine print, or I don't pay attention to the video, and I get on that roller coaster, and I just do what I don't pay no attention, and I injure my neck. Do I have to? Is that probable cause for me to blame the theme park and that roller coaster for getting hurt, or like? For example, in the NFL, before I signed that big contract, do you think it's something in that contract with the little fine print, if you read it, if you this is a more intensive sport, this is more, you know, it's more hit and it's more powerful than what you're used to, this type of stuff can happen. Do you think that's inside the contract, or do you think the NFL or that theme park should talk about it and then lose less money off of being, you know, to talk about the concussions or the injury that comes with it?
Well, your analogy is not a completely accurate one. In fact, Nick Boynton just told me that never once in his 11-year NHL career did he ever have anyone say to him, here's what could happen with a concussion. Here's what could happen with a head injury. Here are some of the long-term effects that could take place. He hear from anyone at a team level or the league level about hits to the head, repeated hits to the head, and how they could cause long-term brain damage. I think it's a lot to assume that everybody knows that. Now we talk about it a lot more, but it wasn't addressed when he was in the league. As for the fine print, no, I don't think you have to tell NFL players or NHL players or NBA players that there is a risk of injury. That's not what these guys are talking about. They're talking about educating them about the risks of repeated concussions. Okay, so yes, things happen in football. The extreme, guys get paralyzed sometimes. We've seen that before. And yes, there are times when guys have torn ACLs or they end up with a concussion. But the idea that they should just get right back on the field without being treated, without sitting out some time, without allowing their brains to heal, and the idea that repeated hits to the head can cause brain trauma and all of these side effects down the road, those are the things that the players are saying are not being addressed and that they're not hearing about.
And that when I was listening to him speak to where he says that the union took away the doctors and I guess like the medical people from paying them to let the team, I guess like the owners pay the doctor. That was my next thing. Like, how does that happen? I thought when you have the doctors, they will be able to coach you on stuff like that. That's what I lost. It's like, so when you with the union, do they take up for you? The doctors are there for you as a player more, or when they got switched over to the owners and I guess like the team paying the doctors, so the doctors have to listen to the team?
Yeah, so he was saying that's one of the things that he feels like is a problem, is that the doctors are paid by the teams, and so there's not necessarily an independent opinion there. because they know where, and that's one of the things the NFL has changed now. There's independent neurologists who are on the sidelines, so those doctors are not paid by the teams, which means they don't have a responsibility to the team. The team can't put pressure on them to get that player back out there, even if he's not necessarily ready. So, yeah, Rashad, that's a great question. The independent part of it's really important. So thank you so much for your phone call.
No problem. Thanks a lot, Amy.
I always appreciate hearing from people around the country when you have thoughtful ideas and also have questions. I mean, there's a lot of questions and not as many answers. So thank you for listening and for responding to the conversation with Nick. We are going to put it on our YouTube channel once the show is over. It'll also be part of our podcast. And so you can get the full interview again. You can share it with people. I would encourage you to share it with people. The more sports fans know, the better. And one more time, it does not change my love or appreciation of the sport. It just is a reminder that these are human beings who in many cases, suffer from mental and physical side effects once they're done playing. It's not a bad thing to educate. It's not a bad thing to arm them with information. That's never a bad thing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You can say that again, Brooks Koepka. Only 7 times in the history of the U.S. Open, and it's more than 115 years old, only 7 times has one player ever repeated as champion, and Brooks Koepka becomes the first to go back-to-back since the late 80s. The Player of the Week is brought to you by Grainger, so let's take a look once again at Brooks Koepka, U.S. Open national champion. He got it done, and he did it because he was near the top in driving distance. He was one of the best all week in greens and regulation and those pin-seeking approach shots. He made the clutch putts on Friday and Saturday and Sunday when he needed to. He muscled his way through. When the course got really tough because the winds picked up and the greens dried out, he got tougher. He used his power. He didn't mind the grind. And he was confident. He remained confident even though he posted a 75 on Thursday. He just did not give up, number one, but number two, he didn't allow his mind to entertain the possibility, okay, did I lose it here? Was this it for me? He just kept working his way through, recognizing that it was going to be really hard to score, and he had to stay steady. Certainly, having won the year before gave him that confidence and that perspective. The Player of the Week and your Man Crush Monday is brought to you by Grainger. Delivering the products that keep your facility running is what Grainger does best. They've been doing it for 90 years. Visit Grainger.com for whatever you need, whenever you need it. Grainger for the ones who get it done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks, as always, for voting in our Twitter polls. It was a fairly tight race for a while between Cristiano Ronaldo, who had the hat trick on Friday against Spain in the World Cup, and then Brooks Koepka, who just, he was the last guy standing. He survived and advanced from Shinnecock Hills. So thanks for voting. You can always find our polls and our videos and our GIFs and our notifications about what's to come on our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS. John is listening in Boston. John, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Well, I'm on my way down to New York, driving early here, and I heard you talking about Shinnecock in the Open, and I don't know if you saw, but the goofball kid in the Donald Duck hat playing with Phil Mickelson, that was my 18-year-old son and his buddies.
That's funny. So were you there or just your son?
No, he decided on Friday. He said, Dad, a couple of buddies of mine were going to drive down to the U.S. Open on Sunday. I said, that sounds like a terrible idea, but good luck with that one. And he ended up going down. I didn't know about any hat he was going to wear or anything, but he shot me a little video. The first guy that did it was Beef on the first tee, came over to him, and then Mickelson, and he just yucked it up with Phil the whole day. Said it was very nice. He made a birdie after I think first hole or second hole. He came back over and said, stay close. Good luck, Charlie.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, actually, Phil and Ricky Fowler both had much better days on Sunday, trimming, I think Phil trimmed 10 shots off of his big deficit there. 10 shots off his score from Saturday when he was so bad. And Ricky Fowler did the same thing. So they were both in much better moods on Sunday, to be sure.
The USGA, I think, has a history of wanting to really test players almost to the point of being somewhat, some of them would call, unfair. And I think last year when they kind of acquiesced and opened up the course, and I think kept the one last year at minus 16, they said, no, we're not having any more minus 16 winning this thing. And the criticism on Saturday that they lost the course, especially on the back nine.
Now, see, John, I was there Saturday, and I loved it. I mean, I thought to watch, I posted up in the afternoon at the 8th green where the last nine groups came through, and it was phenomenal. We saw triple bogeys. We saw double bogeys. The pin placement was almost cruel. It was evil. And yet at the same time, I appreciated watching these guys try to figure it out. I mean, they're the best in the world. I want to see them use their noggins as well as their skills. And so I'm actually glad I was there on Saturday, even though there were some guys who definitely imploded, like Dustin Johnson.
Yeah, well, I had a couple of conversations with friends yesterday or Sunday and about Saturday, and they kind of echoed the same sentiment of, like, you know, Ricky Fowler, I think, shot 84. I mean, when was the last time he shot 84?
Right.
But my retort to them was, look, if I want to see guys shoot double bogeys, triple bogeys, I'll play with you idiots on the weekend. I don't want to know. These guys are the best in the world, and when they're getting eights and nines, it seems something is a little bit out of the ordinary. But there is that element of watching these players, the greatest in the world, walk off the green with a seven or eight, you know, shaking their heads.
Well, but it's not just that. I mean, I don't want to see them frustrated. Phil was frustrated. He was talking to himself. Fowler, the same thing. Dustin Johnson walked off the green on number two when he missed his bogey putt and had to still complete his double bogey. My deal is just I like to see them figure it out. I mean, Koepka figured it out, right? I mean, he hung tough. He was able to stay steady and to do what works for him. And it's a thinking man's game. So I don't mind them having to think a little harder, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, well, and the other thing that's nice about the U.S. Open compared to other tournaments is, I think the cut was plus seven. Mm-hmm. So, you know, generally, if you make a cut on the number in a PGA event, you're just playing for a check on the weekend. You don't really have all that much of a chance to contend. But at the U.S. Open, if you made the cut on plus seven,
mm-hmm.
on Saturday, you were three shots off the lead, four shots off the lead, if you maintained it.
Right. Yeah. No, I really enjoyed it. It was my first time at a major, and I thought it was awesome. So,
well, glad you had a good time.
Thanks. I'm glad. I'm not as cool as your son. I didn't wear a Donald Duck hat, but I was wearing a big floppy hat, though, like a fishing hat, because it was so sunny and hot out there on Saturday. So I was trying to prevent myself from getting like ugly wrinkles. So I did wear a hat, just not Donald Duck. Thanks,
Take
John. Safe travels from Boston to New York. Yeah, I did take a picture of me in my hat, which I will not be sharing, but it was one of those big, it's more like a beach hat, I guess, but the fishing hat kind of style with the long brim that covers your face in shadows. I was very mysterious because it was extremely warm out there, especially in the morning before the wind picked up. Once the wind picked up and then got closer to the late afternoon, the evening, and the sun went below the horizon, it actually got cold. So it went from being the baking weather to being, oh my God, I need a jacket kind of a thing, which that happens a lot on the water. And certainly Shinnecock Hills is right there on the water and the winds were blowing off the water. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Did you see the report about CP3? No, not what he plans to do as a free agent or how much money he wants to re-sign with the Houston Rockets, but what he's telling people about his buddy LeBron.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now I want to go watch Titanic. We did a show not that long ago. It was sometime in 2018 with the best movie soundtracks, and no one mentioned Titanic. What is wrong with you people? feel as though it's disrespectful to speak when Celine is singing. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in to what is now an early Tuesday morning for most of us in the good old USA. 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. Toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio, brought to you by Geico. With a quick way you can save money, switch to Geico. If you go to geico.com in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. I finally figured out what to make the next CBS Sports Minute about, but I have to give credit to a colleague. Ben is actually in the newsroom, and I was searching for ideas, and he came up with it. So maybe that should be my tagline. Thanks, Ben. I'm Amy Lawrence. Or I'm Amy Lawrence, but this is actually Ben's idea. Oh, sometimes it's hard to be creative in a 50-second form, 50-second neat little package, but I'm getting it done. I'm halfway through writing it. Thanks for so much for all of your response to our Nick Boynton conversation. We'll have that up on YouTube and also on our podcast. And you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, if you would like to, I guess, to weigh in even further, or if you have some ideas about how the NFL and the NHL should continue to address the long-term risks and ramifications of concussions and repeated hits to the head. It's a real thing. It's definitely affects human beings differently. So there are some former NFL players that I talk to who have no side effects, at least now, despite the fact that they had multiple concussions when they played. And that's a big mystery about the brain. That's where the science and the technology comes in. But also the part that's scary is that you don't actually know how your brain's going to respond 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 20 years down the road. And while it's becoming easier for neurologists and scientists to diagnose CTE or other forms of brain trauma while a human being is alive, it's still not a foolproof method. And we still don't know how, let's say, a couple of concussions affect this person versus another human being or another athlete. So there's a lot that we don't know, but we should be informed by we. I'm really speaking about the athletes now. They should know everything there is to know so they can make informed decisions about their careers and about their lives. Catherine says on Twitter, I agree with everything you're saying, Amy, but remember who we're talking about. The NFL is all about money and will do whatever they have to do to get more. She says players are dispensable. Scandals are dealt with behind closed doors and fans forget quickly. Not all fans, but I understand what you're saying. I still, though, look at the bottom line as number one, healthy, and number two, something to be protected by being open. We already know that the NFL is on the hook for billions and billions of dollars in money that has to be paid out to former players because the league didn't do its due diligence when it came to education as well as treatment. So to me, it's more, I think it's more financially, I'm trying to think of the right word. It's better financial policy. It's better for your bottom line all around if you're upfront about it, because then players can't come back later and say, you didn't tell me and sue, you know, for that kind of a secret or the you know, keeping it a secret, or as Nick talks about, just being in complete and utter denial. So, yeah, I mean, I understand why there would be a reluctance to speak out, but I think the owners have to look at it from a different perspective now. If you don't speak out, and you don't equip the players to make smart decisions, then you're going to be liable down the line because there's too much science now, too much information, too much research that connects the hits to the head repeatedly with long-term health challenges. All right, let's see. Twitter Tuesday, unless we have more calls or comments about the Nick Boynton conversation. A-Law Radio with the hashtag Twitter Tuesday. A lot of you are saying that the NHL is your favorite sport to watch in person. Matthew says the Penguins are amazing to watch at PPG Paints Arena. It's always rocking. I would agree that there are some sports that are actually better to watch in person than to watch on TV. I prefer NFL on TV, though I, you know, now and then like to go to games and see what I can see. But for instance, NASCAR, better in person. You do not get the power or the speed. You don't get the full experience when you're watching on TV, even when they do crank up the microphones that are embedded in the track. That's pretty cool. Hockey, same thing. You don't understand the speed until you sit in the arena. And I prefer to be high up in the halo, so to speak, and look down on the ice, because then you get the full effect. You can see everything, and you recognize how powerful and fast these players are. And I also prefer soccer in person. Now, I'll watch it on TV if that's the only option available, but it's hard for one TV camera to capture the action where people can actually see what's happening when you have to have this wide angle view in order to see the entire field. Just soccer's not my favorite on TV, and hockey and NASCAR are much better in person too. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio and on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Derek says he asked to point to baseball because it's more peaceful to enjoy. Yeah, it's true. I like being outside of the baseball game when I have no other place to go and just enjoying the afternoon or the evening. Jose on Twitter, international soccer at the one and only AT&T Stadium, Jerry World. And then he sends me a couple of pictures. One sideways. Yep, one's sideways. However, the stadium's empty, so I guess he was allowed to get in there early and take some pictures. but he's saying international soccer, not MLS. Maru says European soccer, no contest. The atmosphere is insane. Ray believes baseball is the best one to attend in person. Then Tom says racing, the Indy 500 and Talladega. So what's your favorite sport to watch in person? Again, After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, I teased the story before we hit our update at the bottom of the hour, so I need to pay off on the tease. That's what we call it in the biz. Chris Paul is telling friends that LeBron does not want to go to Houston, that instead he wants to go to L.A.? What? Have you heard this? Now, I'm reporting what I heard from another person, so it's not my story. It's what Stephen A. Smith was saying on his radio show. So you,
it just pisses me off.
That's not Stephen A. Smith. He does have his own soapboxes, though. So I know Stephen from my time at my previous network. Anyway, on his radio show on Monday, he said that CP3 is telling people LeBron wants to go to L.A. And if you kind of connect the dots, this would make sense. Now, again, I have no knowledge on my own, but Chris and LeBron are really good friends. Remember, they're part of the Banana Boat crew, so this could be classified Banana Boat information. So CP3 also was trying to recruit LeBron to Houston. There was that element too. So it stands to reason that Chris would have more insight than someone who doesn't know LeBron personally and isn't trying to recruit him to his particular city.
Paul fell down.
Paul himself is a free agent, actually. So I could see these two free agents to be and friends talking about what they want to do with their lives and where they should go from here and what's the best choice, not only for basketball purposes and maybe this is the last contract each of them signs. Not
a lie.
Because sometimes guys will sign the 2-year deals and opt out after one and just keep signing deals. But maybe this is the last destination of their NBA careers. Whether Chris stays in Houston, whether he goes somewhere else, seems like there's a lot about that relationship that not only is there unfinished business, but there's a lot about that relationship that was beneficial for both the Rockets and for Chris and his career. But maybe it's the last destination for LeBron. If he leaves Cleveland, could this be the last team he ever plays for? His next choice?
Goodbye, King James.
J.A. Adonde is an NBA insider, and he was a guest on Writer Than You, which is the show that airs 6 to 10 Eastern Time weeknights here on CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, Bill Ryder asked him about LeBron's future. Oh, yeah. So you'll have to hear that after the top of the hour. Because I didn't realize we were so close to the top of the hour. I was busy yapping away and reading your tweets and thinking about your phone calls and trying to write this CBS Sports Minute. And also, I'm distracted by the Thai food menu that's in front of me.
Kick save.
That's a kick save and a beauty. That's how you multitask so successfully. It's a Twitter Tuesday morning. Thank you so much for tuning in. Whether Twitter, whether Facebook, whether you're listening on SiriusXM or one of our great affiliates, we're happy to have you. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.